In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I will go to the altar of God.
To God, my exceeding joy.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
During this Lenten season, we have heard our Lord's call to intensify our struggle against sin, death, and the devil, all that prevents us from trusting in God and loving each other. Since it is our intention to receive this Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ on this night when he instituted this blessed meal for our salvation, it's proper that we complete our Lenten discipline by diligently examining ourselves, as St. Paul urges us to do. This Holy Sacrament has been instituted for the special comfort of those who are troubled because of their sin and who humbly confess their sin. Fear God's wrath and hunger and thirst for his righteousness. But when we examine our hearts and our consciences, we find nothing in us but sin and death, from which we are incapable of delivering ourselves. Therefore, our Lord Jesus Christ has had mercy on us. For our benefit, he became man, so that he might fulfill for us the whole will of the law of God, to deliver us, took upon himself our sin and the punishment we deserve. So that we may more confidently believe this, and be strengthened in the faith and in holy living, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you." It is as if he said, "I became man, and all that I do and suffer is for your good. As a pledge of this, I will give you my body to eat." In the same way, he also took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Again, it is as if he said, "I have had mercy on you by taking into myself all of your iniquities. I give myself into death, shedding my blood to obtain grace and forgiveness of sins, and to comfort and establish the New Testament, which gives forgiveness and everlasting salvation. As a pledge of this, I give you my blood to drink. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup, confidently believing this word and promise of Christ, dwells in Christ, and Christ in him, and has eternal life." We should also do this in remembrance of him, showing his death, that he was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. Giving him our most heartfelt thanks, we take up our cross and follow him, and according to his commandment, love one another as he loved us. As our Lord on this night exemplified this love by washing his disciples' feet, so we, by our words and actions, love one another. So we are all one bread and one body, even as we are all partakers of this one bread and drink from this one cup. For just as the cup, one cup is filled with wine of many grapes and one bread made from countless grains, so also we, being one, are one body in Christ. Because of him, we love one another, not only in word, but in deed and truth. May the Almighty and merciful God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit, accomplish this in us.
Amen.
Having heard the word of God, let us confess our sins, imploring God our Father, for the sake of his Son Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, your poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of your holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. God be merciful to you, and strengthen your faith. Do you believe that the forgiveness I speak is not my forgiveness, but God's?
Yes.
Let it be done for you as you believe. in the stead. And by the command of my Lord, Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Go in peace. Amen. The Lord be with you. O Lord, in this wondrous sacrament, you have left us a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for this night of Holy Thursday comes from Exodus chapter 24. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the just decrees. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half the blood and put it in basins, and half the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient." And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people. And he said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you, in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God, and ate and drank. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks.
The epistle lesson comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 11. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill. Some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 14th chapter. On the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples said to him, "Where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room, that I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. There, prepare for us." And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he had told them. And they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came with the 12, and they, as they were reclining at table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be sorrowful and say to him one after another, "Is it I?" And he said to them, "It's one of the 12, one of you who is dipping in the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." And as they were eating, he took bread. And after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, this is my body." He took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly, I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Tonight, my outline is a little different. I want to contemplate our text through a couple of pictures. The first picture that I want to contemplate tonight comes from the preparation for the meal. The disciples ask, "Where will you have us go and prepare for the meal?" Which at least to me is a parallel question to Luther's catechism question on the Lord's Supper. Who receives this sacrament worthily? In the disciples' case, the Passover, the great feast of the Jews, is approaching. And they know that Jesus is an observant Jew, but they are not in Galilee or Capernaum. They are not at home. Also, Jesus has spent most of this week making everyone that he interacted with mad, cursing the fig tree and cleansing the temple, arguing with everyone in the temple precincts and telling scathing parables. And even the priests perceived that he had told this parable against them. All of it, culminating in the proclamation about tearing down the temple as he walks away from it. So, there might be some trepidation in the disciples' question. How do we prepare this meal, Jesus? Who might give us a place to meet? Do you still want to have this meal? They know that there's a standing ordinance in the Torah's words. But right now, they are not sure how to fulfill it. Likewise for us, we have this standing ordinance. Do this in remembrance of me. But we, along with Christians of most times and places, are flooded with questions about that. What kind of bread? What kind of wine? Who gets them? When? How often? Who should come to the table? These questions are usually just Satan messing with us, trying to get us to turn away from this meal. That confessional address that we use on this night is a longer form answer to some of those questions. But at its core is whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup, confidently believing the word and promise of Christ, dwells in Christ, and Christ in him, and has eternal life. Who receives worthily? There are fine outward preparations, but the person is truly worthy and well prepared who has faith in these words, given and shed for you for the remission of sins. We might then ask, though, how does this faith come about? Where do we be sure to find the meal prepared? And the picture that I want to look at is of two people who might go missing if we just casually read the account. Jesus tells the disciples to follow the man carrying a jar of water who will meet you. The Christian's introduction to the Lord's Supper comes through those who bring the water. And yes, call me crazy. It's exactly, though, how the church fathers would have read this. It's that the Holy Spirit is present in those waters of baptism. And it's that that first testifies to us and makes it real. Where do we find the meal? First, follow the water. Why we come into this building passing that font. The first fitting preparation for the meal is baptism. And that is where the Holy Spirit, who is the one who brings us to Christ, is to be found securely. The second person in the picture is the master of the house. Jesus tells the disciples that this water carrier will bring them to the master of the house. And as soon as they say, "The teacher told us that this person will show you a large room that is already furnished and ready," the Father's house has many rooms. Jesus has gone to prepare us a bunch more, but this one, on this night, the Father, the master of the house, has already prepared it. Those who have listened to Jesus, the teacher, have been brought to the Father, and he welcomes them as members of the family. The Father has prepared the wedding feast. Come. How do we know that this is the true meal? How might we have faith in it? The Spirit in your baptism testifies to it. And the Father that we have been taught to pray to, our Father, has granted us the space in his house. The second picture that I want to contemplate is the table itself and the tension in it. Mark emphasizes two things about the scene. First, as they were reclining at the table and eating. That reclining means something. Slaves, a common fact of that day, did not recline. Jesus even tells a parable about this. The slave doesn't come into the field from in the fields and then sit down. No, first the slave stands and serves at the table, and then he might quickly go and eat. It's the free who reclined at the table. The second thing that is emphasized by Mark is that dipping bowl. It's a Passover meal. And this feast of the Jews is the feast of their liberty from the bondage of Egypt. A part that has become fixed in the Passover Seder is a phrase, "On all other nights we dip once, this night twice." Because this was the leisurely dining of free people. Not the hurried scarfing of slaves. Everything about the night that Mark is showing us says, you are the free children of God's household. Yet, one of the 12, one who is eating with Jesus, will betray him. There's a fatedness to this. One of them is going to do it. And they're all asking, is it me? We tend to think that Jesus singled out Judas here, but I don't think that really explains the scene. Because Peter draws a sword against the high priest's men later. You don't think if Judas had been pointed out, it's that one that's going to betray me, that Peter would have done something then and there to him? But no. All of their reaction is the same thing. Is it me? No, like, it can't be me. Tells us that Jesus is just saying, one of us free at this table of brothers is going to betray us. There's one who will take this freedom and will use it for evil. It would have been better for him not to have been born, to never have been free. The offer of freedom of this table is real. It was real to Judas. It's real to us. God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit have invited us to recline at His table. We are children of the household. But here's the hard truth of a free people. There may seem to be these fated acts, but that doesn't remove the blame. A free people accepts responsibility for their actions. And the truth is that all of these people around the table asserting, surely not I, will have abandoned and betrayed Jesus by the end of the night. Most run in the garden a few hours from now. Peter follows and eventually swears up and down that I don't know the man. Judas betrays him with a kiss. We will all betray at some point. It's going to happen. Or it's already happened. It happens in small ways every time that we sin. The free choice of this table is whose household are we part of? Is this the feast of the fattened calf for all of the returning prodigals? Or is it only for those who have no black marks, who have never left the table, or never run away? This is the table of those who have been freed by the blood. The blood of the covenant poured out for many. Because that is the final truth. You either eat God here, or the various gods will eat you out there. You are the free sons and daughters of the kingdom here, or slaves of the powers and principalities there. And you are responsible for your choice. Have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit prepared this good meal for you, for the forgiveness of sins? Or do we choose what is outside the upper room for whatever 30 pieces of silver will buy? Amen.